You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
I was lost, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's walls, Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And Tom, going out on his expeditions here, had some quite a few chigger bites and some ticks and some other insect bites. And he's pretty sick right now. He's recovering, so couldn't make it to the show tonight. He's just too ill. But he should be on here next week. But anyway, we do have a heck of a lineup tonight. Some really good people, some people that we've known for a while, and some new people. And as always, we'd like to pay our respects to all of the good listeners out there, you people that keep us going. We appreciate you. We value you. We wouldn't be anything without you. And I get lots of emails from all of you from time to time here, both the status of what's going on and links to other places. And as a matter of fact, if everybody would like tonight to take a look, if you'll go up on www.bigfootlive.com, when Jim Dawson comes on here later in the program, there's a link up there about railroad Sasquatches. It's a pretty interesting article. And there's a link on the article. If you'd like to read about it ahead of time, go up and take a look. Other than that, I'd like to say hi to all of our good listeners and our family, your Bigfoot family out there, and wish everybody the very best. I know there's a few of you folks out there that are ill, and we send our prayers and our well wishes to you all. Well, as we get along here, I'd like to get on to our first guest, and that's Anna. Anna, and Anna, you're on there right now, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Anna from PA. By golly. Anna was on the show here, about 3 weeks ago, I think, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
And we had gotten some, she had had, she was driving down, I'm going to let you tell the whole thing from the beginning again, and then do a follow-up. But basically call her back on because she's been out in the area that she had this encounter several times, and I think the last was, last Saturday?
I think Saturday before.
Saturday before? Okay.
Yeah.
Time doesn't mean anything to me, Anna. I lose track of it all the time. But Anna, why don't you go ahead and just tell us from the beginning, you know, how did you get involved with this this creature? What got you stimulated into it, and what's been going on?
Well, I was driving to go pick up my daughter. It was 9 o'clock at night, and you know, it's a pretty clear night. And I was looking up at the moon to my left, and it was really pretty that night. And there was a cloud in front of it, and looking through the trees, and that got interrupted by these two huge red eyes in a tree, which really startled me. But the way the moon was, you could also see some outline of its body. It was hanging from a tree. It had its right arm around the top, and its 2 feet on the side, and the left arm was sort of just hanging. And I kept driving. I was really startled. I was shocked. You know, I was like, whoa, you know. I was like, I think I was seeing things. I kept driving, of course, and, you know, I was looking in my rear view, kind of hoping and praying that they'd be gone. I wouldn't see anything so I could talk myself out of it because it was like, oh, my God. And, you know, then they were there. Those eyes were following my car, just getting further and further away, and I was kind of glad that I could see the fact that those eyes were getting smaller and smaller because I was scared. I was really scared, and I was just not really sure what to make of that. And it took me a few weeks, actually. I didn't do anything, you know. For the first few days, I really thought about it. And the more I thought about it, I just couldn't wrap my head around it, and I just wanted to forget about it because it was just too much to think about, you know. What I saw was not something, you know, I thought I'd ever seen before, and didn't think I'd ever see again. I sure as heck didn't think anybody would ever believe me. So what was the point, you know? So then, let's see, a few weeks later, I went back, and I was looking at that tree. And while I was looking, I was trying to identify which tree it was, and I figured out. And my car was parked right there where I saw it. And this during daytime, of course. This is in the morning. It's about 10:30 in the morning. And I hear this huge crack sound. It's coming from across the street, and there's a whole bunch of bamboo on that side of the road. And I went over a little bit later, and, you know, I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes, and I'm looking around and looking and looking, and I see this huge area of bamboo that is just completely pulled down, broken about a foot above the ground, just snapped and landed flat. And it's like, holy crap. I mean, I swear that's what I heard. It was so huge. But the wind was blowing. It was a windy day. And at first, when I heard that noise, I thought that a tree branch had broken. And there was a large sycamore tree there. It must be a couple hundred years old. So I kind of figured it was a branch I couldn't see. And what I did was I walked behind the bamboo at first because I wanted to see from that angle. And I couldn't see too much because it was so overgrown. But I could see that where that bamboo was, there was no branch. And where that tree was compared to where the bamboo was, it was too far away. So that wasn't it. And that cracking sound, plus there was no landing of a, you know, any type of a branch. There's these three sections of bamboo, and so I saw that the first day. The next morning I went back, and that flat bamboo wasn't quite as flat. It was just a little bit puffed up. And there was a second section of bamboo that was kind of pulled over, more like it was just draped, and as opposed to broken. And third day, I was looking at the third section of bamboo, and I, you know, each day I'm looking at all sections of bamboo, but only the first one was like that. The other ones were all up, just looked normal. Second day, you know, the second section looked askew. Third day, the third section looked askew. The big shock was on the fourth day. I was really being careful looking at everything. I spent a lot of time in nature, so I'm pretty observant, you know, pretty. But I actually saw one. I saw one sleeping just about 12, 15 feet from the road. It was laying underneath some bamboo. You could make out part of an arm and a leg. And I started hearing this clicking sound, which kind of really freaked me out. I was like, whoa. You know, I hadn't heard that sound before at all. But now when I'm standing in front of this thing, all of a sudden looking down, and there's this clicking sound. It's coming from sort of behind it and up a little bit. And that really scared me. You know, seeing what I saw, being certain of what I saw and hearing that sound, I felt like it was a warning. And there was a lot of twigs, broken twigs, and bamboo, dried pieces of bamboo leaves in its fur. And the fur was, it had like a really dark underlayment, like almost black. But the tops of it, and it was really long, maybe like 6-7 inches long, I don't know. And the ends of it looked like it was sort of sun-stained, you know, like it spent a lot of time, you know, in the weather. So that was a shock. That scared the hell out of me. I really was just beside myself on that one.
When you seen this creature, it was asleep, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming it was asleep. I have a feeling they've got to have good scent, so I imagine it was probably just staying still. I think it probably knew I was there.
Yeah, and it was laying down though, right?
Yeah, it was laying almost parallel to the road at a bit of an angle. There was some bamboo that was dead and some that was alive that was sort of pulled over. Most of it was dead. And it almost looked like it was almost burying itself into the hillside, which, you know, is interesting the way that it did that and that, you know, it had the bamboo over it. I really could have walked right on top of it.
Right.
If I didn't see it,
yeah.
If you weren't paying attention, it could have looked like dirt.
Sure.
You know?
How close were you to that? Do you remember?
I was like 12 feet away.
Oh, man.
It was, yeah, it was really close. Yeah, well, that's part of the reason why I was so scared. And the weird thing is between a road, which is pretty heavily traveled, and a house. A driveway.
Right. Now, could you, did you get a chance to look, could you see its face at all?
No, I was trying. And I'll be honest, I was scared to see it if I had, because I was afraid if I saw its face, the sucker was going to be coming at me, and I was done for. But, you know, I was looking. I was trying to make out shape, you know, or form. It was laying on its side.
How about any facial features or body features that stood out?
No, you know what? I could basically just make out like the trunk and the right arm and right leg.
I couldn't
see the left arm or left leg.
I understand.
And I wasn't even really looking, you know, I wasn't thinking arms or legs when I was looking at it. And then I just, you know, it's just sort of, what I was doing was looking for contrast between the wood floor and the, you know, the fur.
Yeah,
you know,
you could clearly make out the tangled hair with the bamboo.
Yeah, that
stuff
I could.
In it, right?
Yeah, and that's what stuck out to me.
Yeah.
That's actually what stuck out because, you know, the rest of the woods floor is like, you know, bamboo and leaves and dirt.
Sure.
But all of a sudden, here's this multicolored thing, and you could see that the little bamboo leaves and the twigs were up higher.
Right.
And it was sort of took a rounded shape.
Wow.
And it was like, whoa, holy, you know, and that's when I realized at that moment what I was looking for. I never dreamt I would actually see one.
Right.
I never kind of didn't want to.
No, I
kind of did not want to. And holy moly, I mean, you know, my life is a different world now, you know. Since then, the owner of that house, I've met with him. I asked him for permission to come on his property. He was very polite, but then he got a little bit strange, just kind of irritated with me. Really didn't want me hanging around.
Really?
And then, he didn't want me hanging out. He was nice, but, you know, he's had a lot of problems with his property. He's had problems with people with that bamboo, taking the bamboo, apparently. He's had problems with people. I don't know if he's had problems with theft, but
wow.
It's a perfect property for theft.
Yeah.
So I could see why, you know, he'd be concerned. He does have three dogs. They're pretty noisy, so I imagine that's as part of his alarm system. But and he's right and behind him is a creek. You know, you go down maybe 150 feet, and there's a creek. So, you know, there's not a lot of place to run. But I guess if you didn't want someone to follow you, you know what I mean? You could go up the
right.
creek. I don't know.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, so he was not comfortable with the fact that I was, like, peering into this bamboo for hours. He was not comfortable. You know, I kept coming back and kept coming back and kept, I mean, it must have looked really strange. And then the woman who lived down the street from him stopped me one day. I was getting into my car, and she introduced herself, and she had a big grin on her face, but she actually asked me if there was anything wrong or anything dangerous she needed to be aware of, which was really strange.
Right.
Because she had a big grin on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, why would you say that with a grin on your face?
Right.
Who would say that? I mean, if her son was sitting right next to her in the car, I was like, you know, she said, well, I have small children and pets. And it was like, I'm thinking to myself, lady, you're done for. You know? I'm thinking,
yeah.
I don't think I want to leave my house. Thanks very much. But, you know, so she said that. But then after, I guess, I'm trying to think when. Right around that time, I can't remember if it was the week before or the week after I met her. I think it was the week after. The week after I met her, on a Monday night, we had a holiday, and I was going to pick up my daughter. She was at a friend's house, and I had the radio playing. I was going down the same road. I was at the exact same location, just about to turn onto that road, and my radio got interrupted by the howling sound.
Huh.
And it really shocked me. It really took me. I was like, you know, when you're afraid and all of a sudden you just jerk, you know.
Right.
And I almost slammed on the brakes. I mean, it really scared me.
Well,
and I turned the radio off, and it was piercing, and it was like, oh my God. And I remember about 3 weeks before I went down there that first morning, and I heard the bamboo, and I was looking at the tree. That movie Harry and the Hendersons was on. Now, I had really kind of really brainwashed myself out of remembering this whole ordeal. And then that movie came on, and Harry was looking at George's drawings with the red eyes. And all of a sudden, I remembered. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what I saw, you know.
Right.
And then I went to YouTube. Yeah, and then I went to YouTube, and I was like, you know, for like hours, I was just consumed with this whole thing. And it was just creepy as all hell. And I was like, wait a minute, they all have black eyes. On YouTube, they all had black eyes. And I was like, I saw red eyes. I was like, what the hell did I see? You know, I didn't realize. I wasn't thinking day and nighttime, you know. And then, but I did hear the howling sound. So when I heard it that night, I recognized it. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was coming up from behind that lady's house. So when I met her, I was like, oh, man, you know. And I really, I mean, I have a really nice camera on layaway, and I want to go get a, or, you know, a really nice lens. And I don't know. I just want to go in the woods, and I want to go looking for, I don't know, whatever, claw marks, fur, whatever. I don't know. I was thinking about, I used to play back in those woods. But at the same time, I'm kind of scared. You know?
Well, I understand, kinda, sure. And, you know, Anna, anytime you can give us a call, and when you're ready to go out there and do that, and we can guide you into some of the things to look for.
That'd be great.
Like, you know, what to look for and where to look for it, those kinds of things. And, you know, we it's not that we're any better than you at looking at things, but sometimes it's you got to know what to look for. You know what I'm saying? It's not readily apparent when you walk in there. And simple things like tree twists and things like that, you could just walk by and say, not even think about it because it's a twisted tree, right? And you say, well, what can make a twisted tree?
Right.
You got to, you know, it's an awareness type of a thing.
Yeah.
What happened? So you, right?
What's that?
Recently, you were, the last time you were out there, what happened?
Gosh, I think the last time I was out there, nothing really happened. I had my phone in my car door, and I had it on vibrate, and I had the window half down. I was just listening. I was just listening for the howl or anything, you know, branches breaking, anything unusual. And because I grew up down there, so I know those woods like the back of my hand, and I know what noises are normal and what aren't. And, you know, I'm used to nature and animals. So I was listening. Nothing really happened. You know, my phone went on vibrate, and I thought it was a growl, and I just about came out of my skin. It's just,
well, you get more sense of
the hell out of myself. It was funny. But I did remember something. Remember me telling you about this when I went for that walk?
Yeah.
I think I was about 27 years old. This was, 20 years ago. And I was trying to convince myself to get comfortable going back into the woods at nighttime again because I used to, you know, it didn't matter day or night. I was just tree monkey, you know. And amazingly enough, this is incredibly just unbelievable. You know, so I pull over, and I'm in a state park, and I'm going down this, you know, man-made trail next to a creek. And I hear, you know, this bush shake, and I walk past the bush. And, you know, I'm nervous. And the really weird thing is my body was full of fear. But I was telling myself it was just normal fear, just chill, just get over it, got to push past it, you know, no pain, no gain, right?
Right.
I'm just telling myself this stuff, psyching myself into it. And at this bush are three sets of red eyes. And the really big set is looking at me and squinting. Real, like, tiny squinting, like, rawr, you know, like it's a mad
right.
eye, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was a middle side, middle size, and a big, and a smaller size. The smallest one looked real wide eyed, like, whoop, you know, like someone was holding their breath, you know?
Sure.
And I was like, what the hell is that? And I'm right in front of it. I mean, it's like 5 feet from me, and I'm right in front of it, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, what in the world? I mean, I'm tilting my head left and right, like, what? What is that? I'm like, that's not a possum. It's not a raccoon. What the hell is that? I'm like, yeah, I'm racking my brain. I can't figure out what it is. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, whatever, you know, just keep walking. But the further I walk, my body just starts to, you know, shut down. It's full of fear. And I'm like, okay, got to do this a different day. I can't do this right now. This isn't cutting it. So I start heading back towards my car. Well, that bush shakes again. I don't see anything this time, and I don't even think this time I wanted to look. I just wanted to get in my car. And hard enough to keep my hand from trembling to put the key in the lock because I was so scared. And I had this awful feeling that I was about to die. I had this awful feeling something was behind me, and I was done for. And I was scared to death. And I got my key in the car, and I locked that door, and I was just, you know, that feeling you get before something really bad's about to happen.
Yeah.
I was just filled with that, and I couldn't get out of there quick enough, man. I was so scared, but now I know what I saw.
Yeah.
I never knew, and I forgot about it because it seemed insignificant. Now it seems like, holy crap. I mean, it was right there in front of me. Thank God they're shy, like you say, because I'm glad about that, or I would have been lunch. You know? You take the arms, you take the legs, and I get the trunk. You know what I mean?
Yes, I
mean, holy moly. So, you know, I'm just, you know, whew, man, oh, man. But I never...
It's a pretty interesting experience you had, and I can tell already just by talking with you that you've been bitten by the Bigfoot bug.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I have to laugh at myself because I always thought people were looking for attention when they were talking about Bigfoot. It's like, yeah, okay, need a hobby. I get it. Yeah, whatever. You know, now it's me, and it's like, oh, this is like the last thing on earth. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud.
That's right. I understand. Well, heck. Anna, I want you to keep in touch with us. You're part of the Bigfoot family now, and I'll give you a call every once in a while just to see how you're doing. But you keep in touch with us,
and if they
by chance can, if you have another area, I guess the gentleman didn't want anybody on your property, right? So that kind of keeps us there, but there are some of the other areas that you've had.
Well, that other lady, the one up at the top of the hill, she does have room for a trailer.
Oh, okay.
She does.
If there's an area,
a very long driveway. Yeah, she has a very long driveway, and she definitely has room for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I mean, mostly what it is allowing access to the property.
I have a feeling she would do that, especially by that big grin on her face.
Sure.
Because she was hiding something. There's no way. I would never ask somebody, do I need to be afraid of something with a big smile on my face?
Right.
Unless I really thought the person was a fruitcake, but she didn't know me from Adam.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I understand, yeah.
And I hadn't made any claims of anything to her. You know, she didn't know anything at all about it. And at that point, you know, I had just finished talking to the guy, and there's no way those two connected.
I understand.
So, you know, there's no way. So, I don't, you know, she definitely knows more. And there's no way she didn't hear that howling sound.
Right.
Well, you know,
she may have, and as you continue to do some little investigations of things, you might just approach her and just ask her if she's heard any strange things.
Yeah, I am going to go up there. I'm going to ask her. I'll be honest with you, I've actually been afraid to go to her house.
I understand.
Because she's right there in the middle of the woods, and it's like, good God. It just, you know, it honestly, it scares me. Just the thought of even driving up her windy driveway, because this is like this great big Spanish mansion, you know, in the middle of the woods, and it's like, oh, my God. I mean, it already looks like something out of Scooby-Doo. Just add Bigfoot, you know what I mean?
Well, if it's any consolation, Anna, pretty much these creatures haven't really been, you know, that aggressive towards people.
Yeah.
And even when they were, in the instances where we've had experience with that, like rock throwing and things like that, they've never hit anybody. They've always missed. They hit the bank or the water. And it was just a tactic to get us out of there, telling us, you know, warning us to get out of the area, and that type of a thing, right? And and it's always been in protection of another creature. So it was, you know, in three or four times that we've had that kind of an experience, basically what's happened is we were, one time we had a female cornered, and was hiding behind a rock, and we could see it ducking in and out with the infrared, and then that's when the rock started coming, and that was telling us, you know, clear away, you know, and we were trying to come in closer to, you know, closer to get more information and more pictures and more other things of the creature, right? But from the side, off on the side, the rock started coming, so it's that kind of a thing, There's only been, as far as I know, a few instances where these creatures have been really aggressive and attacked somebody or tried to attack somebody.
So, you know, it's not a, it's, you know, they're pretty benevolent. I think they're intelligent. Very well could be some strain of human. We don't know.
Yeah.
But you, and that's the quandary that you get into. But
yeah.
You just keep on trucking and keep in touch. I'll keep in touch with you periodically. Mm-hmm. And if anything develops, give me a call right away. You have my number, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm going to be calling you pretty soon to ask you some what to look for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we'll take a look. And Tom's pretty sick tonight. He got bit with all those bug bites, and it got him down pretty bad. But probably next day or so, he can give you a call also. Besides me, and he can give you some real good direction on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay. Well, thank
all
you
right,
so much for
so.
Coming on and sharing again with us. And
all right.
Welcome to our world of Bigfoot, Hannah.
Thanks
and,
very much.
And you're, as always, you're part of the Bigfoot family. We'll keep in touch with you always.
All right. Thank you.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anna from PA and her experience. We're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be right back after the commercial. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. In Anatomy of the Bigfoot Hoax, Bigfoot Lives 1, Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3, all three of those, all four of those movies. They're great movies. You want to see people that we've met for the last 5 or 6 years on the show. You want to see where we've been. You want to see what we've found. They're all in there. There's a lot of good information, a lot of good contacts with the people and interviews. You can see it all firsthand. Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax, unbelievable. I'll tell you, those two guys from Georgia just tears them apart. There's so much controversy out there about it. But if you want to know the truth, you can take a look at it and see it. Well, anyway, we're going on with our show. Our next guest didn't make it on, and is probably, she's a nurse, and her name is Melissa, and she's from Iowa. And Melissa and her husband, back in January, they go out fishing quite frequently, and earlier in the year, they'd been out fishing in this area, and they kept having different things happen, sounds, howls, and then they found like footprints and other stuff, hair. They found bones, little skeletons of smaller animals and things like that, like a gifting, if you want to call it that, left for them to find. So they called another organization, and they came out, and they took all the stuff and left, and the next day she had a bunch of photographs she gave them, and they had all of her photographs posted on their website, and they made a big story about how they went out and found all this stuff and had it and didn't even give her credit for it. So then she called us, and Rob went out there, of course, in January. It was very, very cold, and it actually got way down, and there's very little activity of any animals running around out there because of the severe cold. But Rob stayed there for 3 or 4 days, And they went out and they took a look at all the areas that they had the stuff in, and found a couple of areas that were could be traversed and would be very very likely the areas that those were the areas that they had the creatures' presence. But anyway, Melissa couldn't come on tonight. She was going to tell us. She just started fishing again here recently. And, of course, with fishing came some more noises and other things that have happened, tree twists and tree formations and things like this. But she's not going to be able – we'll probably try to have her on next week. So what we're going to try to do is I'm going to go, and we're going to take one of our guests, Brenda from Four Corners. And, Brenda, how are you tonight?
Hello?
Hello, Brenda. How are you?
I'm doing good. Awesome.
Well, Brenda, Dave Ortiz is obviously been our you know, one of the main guys out there that keeps in contact with everybody, and he's kept in contact with you and a few other people. But I thought you'd been out there, you've been doing some stuff, so I thought he'd invite you on the show here to tell everybody what's been up the last couple of months or so.
Well, we've been, having some people calling me and come check out different areas to see if Bigfoot was running around there. They've been hearing some yells and rocks being thrown and stuff like that. And some people are having also things bothering their livestock. The other day we had, about 2 days ago, we've had a family that woke up to 20 of their chickens that were killed. So I'm looking into that, seeing what's going on there, and something's attacking livestock again. So I'm out kind of checking out different areas and seeing, you know, drive around late at night around the neighborhood and see if I pick up anything, or, you know, if anything's running around or we hear something yelling. And we do hear a lot of yells in different areas out here. It's been pretty active again, so it sounds like it's being picked up again all over, you know, not just here in our area, but also with in the Lacoochee Mountain and Cove area, also in the Shiprock area, Colorado. They've been having a lot of sightings out that way too. So I've been kind of starting to get calls and come out and check out different people's areas.
Huh. Now, Brenda, tell us a little bit about just the terrain where you go and investigate in the areas there. What is the terrain like?
Mountainous is it's in this regular mountain.
Yeah,
do some hiking up there. I just got some info that a family would like for me to go check out a place out there in Arizona, which is about 2 hour drive from where I live, in Wheatfields. They're having they're saying that Bigfoot is taking some of their livestock, the sheep as well, and they're getting tired of it.
Uh-huh.
So they called me out to go out that way. Of course, I haven't been out there yet. I'm waiting on some more information and stuff from where I need to go meet the people. We do a lot of, like I said, hiking out in the mountains, checking different areas. So some of it can be rugged, but down here close to in our area, more into the neighborhoods is not too bad, which it's pretty good. So It's pretty much all flat. Some areas can be a little rough, but other than that, it's fairly good, not too bad. But getting into the mountain part is where it gets pretty rugged up that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there a lot of lots of areas there? Gardens and things like that, fields.
We have gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we have a lot of people that have gardens, you know, in our area. Plus, we have the Nappy that's up here on top of the hill. which is another feeding ground for these things that travel through different areas and people's property, running up to Nappy, and you know, of course they had the potato garden up that way. They got onions, apples, and all kinds of stuff up that way, and that's where they're going up there to feed on. So they know where food is. So they have a good plenty of food and water source. So that's the reason I believe that they're hanging around in this area, because they know where food's at.
Sure.
But now
where do you have most of your sightings?
It just varies.
Yeah.
So it could be along the river. It could be right in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it now I'm hearing is a lot of up there in the mountains now. It's really picked up quite a few out in the mountains.
My gosh. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes,
now,
it is.
Now, Brenda, have you, I can remember now about a year, I think a little over a year ago when we first met you. And you had actually a visual encounter, right?
I'm sorry?
You had a visual encounter.
Yes, I did.
On the road with a with a creature.
No, it's behind my house.
Oh, behind your house.
No,
okay.
Right behind our house in the back field there. This creature, I wanted to know at the time. It's been about 2 years ago now.
Yeah, it was 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah,
about 2 years ago, and I wanted to, my son has found a footprint, and I wanted to know, about a week later, after finding the footprint, I wanted to know which field it was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So a week later, my sister from Ignacio came up, and I asked her, and it was really late, about 10:30 at night, she had finally arrived, and we went to the back. I told her, so I want to go look and see if we can hear something coming up, and I want to know which field it's coming up from. So we took off to the back, you know, grabbed our cameras and flashlight, and we took off back there. And as we were going back there, you know, we're just kind of laughing and going, just talking, and we got to this one certain area. And, you know, we were looking for, you know, tracks to see if we could find some footprints back there, you know, coming up. And sure enough, we ran into a couple of them.
Wow.
Well, at the same time, you know, we could hear something coming up. And I was like, wow, what is that? I can hear, you know, there's like a lot of tree branches and dry weeds back there. This thing, the footprint, or the step, you know, it sounded, you could just hear it's really loud.
Wow.
And this thing, when it would step on branches, you could hear them breaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling my sister, be quiet, I could hear something's coming up. So I, you know, we flashed the light that way, of course, you know, we didn't see anything, and so we kind of kept start making our way that way. You know, had we gone any further, I think we would have ran right, I mean, just probably right in front of them.
Right.
But, you know, we stopped him because we could hear something, you know, and we kept on going, and we were just getting ready to climb. My sister climbed over the fence, and I was just getting ready to climb over the fence. Just then is when I heard a big, like crash of weeds. I'm like, okay, something is definitely coming up. So I had my sister flash the light down in this one area. Well, she did it from west to east really fast. I said, no, go back and shine it slowly. And when she did, when she went back, there he was standing.
Wow.
And we're just standing there looking at it like, wow, that is huge. And, you know, all I saw, what we saw was nothing but hair. You know, I wanted to see the face.
Right.
And the face, we didn't get to see anything of the face because it was just covered in hair.
Sure.
It stood there for, I would say, a good minute. And it was just like it was just watching us and we were watching it. And then pretty soon, all of a sudden, you could just, it just, like, went down on all fours. And you could hear this thing just, like, run. And, you know, I've never heard anything like that run on all fours. It was pretty loud.
Wow.
Like, wow, and it shot off back down towards the river. Well, the next day when I went back, I wanted to go see if I could find some footprints. And there was all kinds of footprints back there in the back. Like, wow. And the weeds that were, that where he was standing, he or she was standing, Now I'm about 5'3", 5'2", 5'3". Those weeds were taller than my head. And what I saw, what we seen that night, was the waist above those weeds.
Wow.
So his waist was right about my head.
Right. My head. Pretty big.
I was like, wow, he was huge, really big. We were surprised. And my sister, when she got that night, when she got a whiff of, you know, they smelled really bad. And just enough breeze, and you could really smell it. It was just a horrible smell.
Mm-hmm.
When she smelled that, she just ran back, and I was like, oh, wow. I was like, left me back there, you know. That was kind of funny, making fun of her. But, yeah, that was my first encounter, was back there during that time. And it was really, from that point on, of course, back in the 80s, is when I actually probably really had my first encounter, when this thing actually tried to come into our home. It was playing with the
wow.
doorknob. That was my very first time seeing one.
Jeez.
Back in not 80s. It was 2000, probably 2000. It's
yeah.
the very first time that I've actually had my very, very first encounter. So
wow.
This one here behind our house was pretty close. That was my second one.
Woo. Well, gosh. Brenda, I want to thank you so much. Dave will probably be keeping in touch with you,
mm-hmm.
and you know, as we go along here, and we'd like to, you know, have you on once in a while, just you and both you and Dave on, just to go over
sure.
what's been going on, what's going on in your area there.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to mute you out, and then if you want, you can listen. Here we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Brenda. Dave, you're on.
Yeah, hey. How you doing, Marco Bill?
I'm doing great.
Great.
So, Dave, give us a little thumbnail sketch of what you've been up to and what's been happening as far as you know.
Okay, great. And, you know, actually, before I start that, I'd like to give a little follow-up on that investigation that we did with JC and Darren Weeks and several others, even a former... police detective was with us that evening. We actually were out there a few days after Brenda's encounter.
Yes.
And what we found, there were all kinds of tracks through that brush that Brenda was talking about. It actually made a
yeah.
trail before even Brenda had reached that area. But what was really amazing is we found a launch and an impact of this creature as it turned around from Brenda and ran off. It actually jumped. We measured it at 24 feet.
Wow.
This thing was just airborne, you know, and that was probably one of those big crashes that Brenda heard after it took off running. And it ran into a ditch full of, like, wild willow brush.
Yeah.
And it made a tunnel. We actually walked through the tunnel, and it was like the tunnel was just taller than us. It was like, wow.
Wow.
We're actually standing right here where the Bigfoot ran through. And we also found some, like Brenda was saying, some trails. There were trails and bedding areas just away from that area where that Bigfoot probably came up to greet Brenda and her sister. But these trails looked just like they had been walked quite frequently. They were not just recent, but they had been, and there were actually footprints, like during the muddy times, there was actually impressions inside those tracks, inside the trail, that is. And there's a lot of brush and stuff in there, but you had to be careful when you walked this trail because, you know, you'd stick your foot in there, you might trip. But it was so amazing to see and witness this. Here we are in the 21st century, and we're, like, dealing with these prehistoric creatures.
Right.
Yeah.
Or understand.
Beings, whatever they are. But, yeah, our activity has slowed down a little bit. What I'm thinking is some of these creatures may be migrating back to the mountains because of the extra warm weather we've had.
Sure.
But there still is activity, and I forgot to mention, I talked to Brenda earlier today, and I forgot to mention to her that I did hear some sounds, some strange sounds last weekend while talking to my across-the-street neighbor. I've been kind of informing him about, you know, Bigfoot activity and things, and he's becoming more aware since we live close to a wildlife refuge, which is 175 yards from our home.
Uh-huh.
It's the valley bottoms of the river is what it is. The river is about close to a mile away, but there's lots of great, you know, fertile ground over there. And we believe it's also a traveling area for the Bigfoot. As it comes out of the reservation area where Brenda lives, it does seem to pass through our area. We don't really know because we don't have any cameras or infrared going, but we do hear sounds on occasion. And this last Saturday, we heard some sounds, my friend across the street. So we didn't know what they were, but they sounded very strange, sort of a guttural noises that they didn't sound like cows or horses that are normally kept in the fields down there. So we believe we might, we can't confirm, but there was definitely some weird activity. It was very quiet, too. We noticed it was just very, very quiet. So a loose consensus that we might have had a Bigfoot come through the area, possibly.
Wow.
But I have heard Bigfoot down there, though. I've heard in the middle of the night some screams that are directly associated from the sound bites I've heard in the past. But we do have activity here on a constant basis. It used to seem seasonal, but it seems like every year it just seems to get a little bit more and more.
Wow.
So it's worth studying. It's worth getting out there, and hopefully we can pick them up with photography or something, you know?
Sure. Well, you're going to keep in touch with us anyway, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then from time to time, I'll give you a call, or any time you can give me a call, you know that.
Oh, you bet.
Just give me a call, and we'll get you on. If you've had any activity or something, we'll get going.
You bet.
Sure. Well, geez, thanks, Dave, for giving us an overview of what's going on in your area over there in the Four Corners area.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us tonight.
Sure.
And I got Jim Dawson coming on, some pretty interesting stuff. He sent me a link, and it's called Sasquatch Railroad Sasquatches.
Whoa, I'd love to hear that.
There's a link on www.bigfootlive.com. It tells a whole story about it. But listen up, what Jim is going to talk about here coming up.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot, Dave. I'm going to mute you out, and I'll keep in touch with you, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Marco Bill.
Take care.
You too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave Ortiz, and here we go with Jim Dawson. Jim, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Marco Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We had to go a little bit out of alignment tonight. One of our guests didn't make it, so we...
Well, I was running a little late, too. I was having dinner with my neighbors. I got a couple of buddies up the street from up the hill from me from Mississippi. They've been in fishing all week, and they cooked a beautiful crab cake and pork cutlets tonight, and they invited me to dinner, and I was trying to rush through dinner and get back down here to get on the phone with you guys, but I don't want to waste any more time with that. I put up a game cam last week, or week before last it was, and I baited up a tree, and I went back out there, and nothing happened because I'd cut my hand and there was blood everywhere and I didn't have anything to cover up the scent. And so I went back out there 2 days later and the tree was licked clean. And I said, God, I can't believe this. So tonight we went out and we baited up another tree and put the game cam out. But anyway, I found this article on StanCourtney.com. And Stan is a very, I think, he's very credible. He lives in Illinois. He does a lot of audio recordings. And his website is StanCourtney.com, S-T-A-N.
Well, I've got the link up.
Oh, do you?
I have the link.
Right.
Yep, it's on the radio. It's on the radio show right underneath your where you're listed on the radio show.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
If anybody wants to take a look at that, it's a really interesting story. I've read it. It's great. It's got some good stuff in there.
Yeah, well,
go
ahead.
Let's go.
Here in Arkansas, all of the railroads follow the rivers, and so there's railroad tracks right by my house. But
right.
What this guy reports is he actually was standing out on the railroad tracks watching a train go by just because he's a train enthusiast, and he saw, and he says on his website, he saw and I quote, "The animal I saw was very huge and balled up, so I could not see the face. It had long auburn brown hair that glistened and blew in the sunlight / wind. At the time back in 1975, it was mostly thought that Bigfoots only lived in the deep woods of the Pacific Northwest in Canada. I had heard stories about Bigfoot sightings in Illinois, but I, too, was a skeptic back then. And if you said you saw one, you were ridiculed and chastised." Of course, that's anywhere, not just Illinois. Sure. And he goes on to say, now that I'm older and much wiser and have researched the information I can find on them, I'm very confident that both Stan Courtney and I saw a Bigfoot riding the trains in Illinois. I know it sounds crazy as hell, but knowing what I know about them, I no longer tell myself it was a huge dog or an orangutan or whatever. And if you scroll down about two-thirds down the page, you can actually hear the recording whenever they were talking and actually saw the creature on the railroad.
Yes, I listened to that. It's pretty interesting.
Did you listen to that?
Yes, I did. It's pretty interesting. So it's a live performance, man. It's right there when they see it, you know it.
Yeah, isn't that wild? And then, you know, and you know, we think the Sasquatch, of course, you know, travel along the highline wires and along streams and creeks. But you know, if trains slow down a lot going through switches and stuff, and maybe they do jump on trains.
Well,
who knows?
I mean, there's been a few instances that we've investigated where they've actually been hit by a train, and that very well could be. And I got to tell you, I mean, we don't know enough about these creatures. You know, we don't have enough definite information about them. I mean, things like the power lines and the train tracks and other things for using them for guidance or for navigation purposes, as well as streams and rivers. I mean, it's amazing, and and it's not out of the ordinary, I don't think. I think it's well within, it's a very realistic part of what they probably do. We just don't have any, you know, we don't have any proof, you know, substantiate it. But, man, I'll tell you, each time we go out here, each time we find these stories and each time we find these encounter experiences, another little piece of the puzzle is taken up with it. And,
oh yeah.
I've told you before that when we first, when Tom and us and we first started out, we thought there was only one kind of, you know, Bigfoot really. We thought all the rest were kind of fake. Well, actually, Tom thought they were all fake until he had his encounter. But then.
People don't realize.
You know, we found that there's several different
that.
Species. There's several different species of these things.
Yeah.
In the past 6 years, and so
and
I mean,
Marco
everything
Bill,
opens
don't
up.
People don't realize what a skeptic Tom Biscardi is, do they?
No, they don't.
Tom is more of a skeptic than anyone I've ever met.
Yep.
I mean, he is. He's cautiously optimistic, but he's a skeptic.
Yep.
It's funny. I mean, he certainly promotes, you know, the things that he believes in, but he's a skeptic on most things. You know, the thing about Stan Courtney is he does a lot of audio recordings. He's got a lot. If you want to hear some great recordings, not only of creatures, but of wolves or coyotes or owls or anything, you can go to his website, and he's got really good, legitimate recording equipment. He's got the scopes, you know, so you can see the see the electronic signatures of recordings. And interestingly, he also has comparisons. You know, what we believe, or a lot of folks believe, and I do, that the Bigfoot creatures mimic other animals in the forest with sounds. And he'll have he has recordings of coyotes and then Bigfoots or Bigfoot creatures mimicking coyotes, and you can see the electronic signature of a real coyote and a Bigfoot mimicking, and you can see the difference on them.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of instances of that. Yeah, I've seen a couple of instances of that. He's got some examples on there of the foxes and a couple other animals.
Yeah, I think he's a really credible researcher. I've had some interactions with Stan over the years because, you know, I was living in Illinois for a period of time, and I think that he's a real credible guy. He does investigations, and he's got some really good stuff. And he has another link on his website called Squatch Marks, and Squatch Marks is a link to every Bigfoot site in the world. it's amazing. I mean, if you want to look at other Bigfoot websites, or get information on camping equipment or recording equipment or anything around the Bigfoot community, anything you want to buy, anything you want to do around research or Bigfoot, it's on his website called Squatch Marks. And
wow.
You can link right over to Squatch Marks from StanCourtney.com. He's really got a cool website. And the guy doesn't charge anybody a penny.
No, I understand,
yeah.
I took a look at it. I was very interested in all the stuff he had.
Yeah, he's a really good guy and a really credible. He seems to me to be real credible, and I like him. Well, I didn't get to hear the show tonight, so how did everything go? Brenda had an incredible story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, basically, tonight what we did is Anna came on from PA, and I'll give you a call after the show and give you a rundown. But
awesome.
Anna from PA and her encounter experience, and Brenda telling us what the latest, what things have been going on in her area, and of course Dave Ortiz letting us know what's been going on in his area.
Man, well, Dave,
both Brenda and Dave worked together, but Dave had some other things, and then we missed out on Melissa from Iowa. She didn't make it. She's a nurse, though. She sometimes gets called in to work.
I see. Well, Bill, I want to say what a tremendous job you've been doing with the show and the work that you've been doing. I know I listen to the show just about every week, and no one ever gives you the kudos that you deserve and the work that you do for our organization, Searching for Bigfoot and Bigfoot Live. And I want to say what an incredible individual you are, and how proud I am to be associated with you. Your integrity is impeccable. Your integrity is beyond reproach. You do a great job. You care about everybody. You're really genuine. You really do listen to everyone that calls in. And I think that you are just an amazing gentleman, and I can't thank you enough for the hard work that you do. And I want to let you know just how amazing I think you are, and thank you so much for all the stuff you do.
Well, I appreciate that. But the real honor goes to our guests and the people that bring us all the news. Our little network of people is so absolutely unique. We keep in touch with these people for years at a time. And many of them, some of them don't become researchers. They just become information centers.
Sure.
And I get information all the time, links to different places, new things that have happened. And they just keep in touch just out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, they do that. And so there's a lot of people out there, a lot of our Bigfoot family. They're all part of this. I enjoy every single minute that I'm working with it, and it's always a pleasure to have this kind of people on their show. I mean, I've listened to several different shows, and none of them really have the real encounter experience. They a lot of times what they try to do is just, take an accounting of the thing to document it on a little invoice or something, but the actual experience, sharing it with other people, I mean, it's really amazing how many times a week I get a call on the Bigfoot hotline. And we do get some tricksters, some kids, school kids or something going, making, false reports and things, but by and by, we really get some valuable encounter information from people. Some people don't want to come on, and that's okay, too. We don't mind that.
Oh,
Jim,
yeah,
I want to thank you.
Thank you. Tom has me scouring every day looking for new opportunities for places for us to go research, do expeditions, et cetera. And I can't tell you how much easier having that hotline makes it for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No question.
Sure.
No question.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for coming on and bringing us up to speed with what's going on and sharing with us. This is a pretty interesting link, the site about the railroad Bigfoot. I called it Bigfoot Hobos.
Well, that's probably pretty close to the truth. Well, if I get anything on the game cam tonight, I'll send it over to you. We'll see. Last time I took the camera down, and 2 days later I went back out, and the tree was lit clean. It was like Mississippi. It looked like it was power washed. So maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'll post whatever you send me.
All right,
buddy. It's time to say goodbye now to everybody, and I just want to tell everybody, Tom really wasn't feeling too good today, so he should be back next week, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in and being a part of our show. Take care, and keep Bigfooting, everyone.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests. and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're rolling together.